Hi there, this is Matt Phillips. You're listening to the Run to the Top podcast.
Hi everyone, this is your host, Coach Claire Bartholik, the Planted Runner, bringing you another episode of the Run to the Top podcast, where we dive deep into everything running. Today's guest, Matt Phillips, is a running injury and performance specialist, as well as an expert in massage for runners. Not to mention, he is hilarious, and he just might make you think differently about that post-run massage. I'll get into more of the details on Matt in just a minute, but first, as many of you know, I'm on the quest to reach 1,000 reviews on iTunes by the end of 2020. If we get there even faster than the end of the year, I won't have to beg for your iTunes reviews each week, so let's just put this behind us, shall we? It just takes a minute, and if you email me a screenshot of your review to claire@runnersconnect.net, Claire is spelled C-L-A-I-R-E @runnersconnect.net, you'll be entered to win a free month of expert coaching at Runners Connect. If you are already an RC member, you'll get a month's credit. If you are not a member yet, what you will get is a customized training plan, even if you don't have a goal race on the horizon. We will look at your current fitness, running history, and lifestyle, and we'll come up with a complete running, strength training, stretching, and cross-training plan that will build your running fitness no matter where you are right now. You'll get access to our team of expert coaches that will be there to give you advice, answer your running and training questions, and put you on the right track for success. Not only that, you'll become a member of our thriving community of RC athletes that will cheer for your successes and love to geek out on everything running. All you have to do is send me a screenshot of your iTunes review posted in September 2020 and beyond to claire@runnersconnect.net. We will announce a winner each month until the end of the year. And if you already wrote a review before September, or if you want an extra entry, all you have to do is get a friend to post a review. Send me a screenshot and both of you will be entered. No limit to the number of friends or entries. We'll announce the winner at the end of the month. I've been so flattered and humbled by the response and the reviews so far, but I need somewhere between 30 and 40 reviews a week to hit that four-figure mark. Will you help me? Stay tuned at the end of the show where I'll be mentioning some of the reviewers, and hopefully next week, I'll be talking about you. I also wanted to mention another cool feature we are creating here at the Run to the Top. We are calling it the Elite Treatment. It's kind of like a backstage pass for subscribers, where we will be announcing our freebies, our contests, and extra special goodies exclusively for subscribers. In other words, the Elite Treatment. As a thank you for signing up for the newsletter, we are going to hold a separate drawing for a free month of RC coaching as soon as we reach 200 subscribers. So head to runnersconnect.net/podcast and sign up today. And now to my interview with Matt Phillips. Longtime listeners to the show probably know who Matt is already. And those of you who listen to my audio blogs on the Extra Kick podcast will recognize his name as an expert contributor. Originally a strength and conditioning coach with the National Academy of Sports Medicine, Matt turned his attention to sports therapy in 2004, working particularly with distance runners and endurance athletes. Part of a multidisciplinary team of physiotherapists, sports therapists, osteopaths, podiatrists, and massage therapists, Matt is also a lecturer in anatomy and physiology, writes for numerous websites and national magazines, including Runners Connect and Outdoor Fitness. He also has his own running podcast and website called Run Chat Live. In October of last year, Matt held the inaugural Run Chat Live International Running Conference in Brighton, Sussex, with 10 world-class speakers traveling as far as Australia, Canada, and the United States. This year, the event, of course, will be virtual, and it's on October 29th and 30th. Matt has generously given our listeners a 20% off promo code, which I'll mention at the end of the show. I invited Matt to the Run to the Top to share his knowledge on massage for runners. There are a lot of ideas about what massage can do for us, and Matt busts some common misconceptions. And he does so with a delightfully British sense of humor. If you've ever wondered why or when to get a massage, this one's for you. Before we get to the interview, I'd like to tell you about this week's sponsor, Sweaty Betty. They make the most flattering, buttery soft leggings on the planet that will quickly become your most favorite thing in your closet. Later in the show, I'll let you know exactly why they're so amazing and how you can save 20% off your entire order at SweatyBetty.com. And now, here's Matt Phillips. Welcome to the Run to the Top, Matt.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
You are a running injury and performance specialist and a massage therapist. We could talk today about any number of topics, but I wanted to have you on the show today to talk specifically about massage and what it can do for runners. Let's talk about first some of the myths about massages. What are they and how did they get started?
Okay, that's a great question. I've got to say, first of all, that yes, I am a massage therapist. I'm a big fan of massage. I work with a lot of runners, and for a lot of them, I actually persuade them to have massage. So it's a good place to start with the myths and misconceptions. But the reason why I dwell on these is because I'm very much trying to help runners realize that if we understand how massage works and what it doesn't do, then we can devote our time better. So I don't want to get people's backs up. There might be a few surprises. So I am a big fan of massage before I destroy people's illusions. Okay.
That's good. That's good to know.
So as far as runners go, one of the biggest myths, I think, which will help runners understand when and why to choose massage is, despite what you may be told and what you might have learned if you're a therapist, human beings can't actually change the state or structure of tissue with our bare hands. It would be quite a scary world if we could do that. We wouldn't need guns or knives or anything. We could just handle people roughly and change them into a little box shape and throw them away. So although that's out, and you have to get used to my cynicism, I'm sorry, I think it's a UK thing.
But that's great.
Understanding that can save an awful lot of time and money for runners, because so many therapeutic programs with massage techniques are kind of designed on the idea that we can bend you back into shape, that we can break down scar tissue. Okay, and that's a classic one, which still very much these days I see runners who have come to me with hamstring problems and they've been told by their previous therapist, oh, I've told I've got loads of scar tissue in the belly of my hamstring muscle and they've been trying to kind of break it down for the last month or two. If you said to a surgeon, I break down scar tissue with my elbow, they would laugh at you because surgeons use knives. Yeah,
right.
It sounds really sarcastic. And obviously when I'm talking to a patient or a runner, then I try not to let my tone disappear into this, because it can sound quite challenging if a runner then therefore says, hold on, I've just been paying like maybe 40, 50 bucks an hour for the last 8 weeks and they haven't actually been doing what they say they've been doing. That can make them angry with everybody, including me. And it's never cool to kind of like badly show a previous therapist. It doesn't do anybody any favors and doesn't help the industry. But that said, I'm also, you know, the role of Run Chat Live and my whole business is to help runners make better choices. So if you are with a therapist who is telling you they're breaking down scar tissue or they're remolding your fascia or something or changing the length of your muscles, then you have to question yourself whether they're staying up to date with the latest evidence. And a lot of therapists aren't. Before I had kids, I would spend years and years and years looking at research and looking at studies. Now I've got a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old. I appreciate why some other therapist looked me in the face and said, you think I've got time to do all that, Matt? I just want to work and get home and be here.
I can relate. Yes.
But I dug myself a hole when I became evidence-based and self-critical. And that's the way you have to be a therapist, because we have. I mean, we do it. Not many therapists do this with bad intention, or, you know, there's a few, but generally we do it because we've got massive empathy. We want to help people. It's altruistic. It's a beautiful thing. We like to see the people of our chosen sport get back on their feet and run. So even though I'm saying we can't break down scar tissue, It doesn't mean we have to stop what we're doing. It doesn't mean you have to stop going to your therapist. Plenty of runners get fantastic results with a therapist telling them, I'm just going to break down this scar tissue. All I'm saying is, if we know how something works, we can make it work better. And with the case of massage, as we'll see as we talk on in this episode, it's more of a case of being less wrong. We don't really know how massage works, but the job of clinicians is to kind of move away from what we know isn't happening. Okay. Take away the idea of breaking down scar tissue. We take away the idea of pressing as hard as we can without the runner actually crying in front of us. And that still happens, you know, in certain traits, you expect, oh, I'm going to see a deep tissue massage therapist. It's going to hurt, but it has to hurt because they're breaking down my scar tissue.
Yeah, no pain, no gain, right?
Exactly. It's a massive thing. And we confuse it because when we're out on our session doing our tempo run or something, or the progression run at the end, we have to overcome those voices saying, you can't do this, you can't do this. And we dig deep and we do it. But that's kind of effort. That's beating kind of a stress. Pain's a totally different thing. And thanks to modern pain science and research, which is developing, we know that you can't fight pain with pain. If a runner comes to us in pain and we inflict more pain because of the role of the nervous system, they may feel better when they walk out because your brain's just gone, okay, I'll give up. I'll give you 5 minutes of no pain. Just please stop what you're doing. Mm-hmm. But how many runners walk out thinking, oh, well, they fixed me. They got magic hands. Joe was right. This guy's incredible. And then in 2 days' time, the pain's back again. And yeah. This is why knowing how something doesn't work helps us avoid that kind of perpetual cycle of discontent.
Okay. So massage does not break down scar tissue. What about the toxins? People talk all the time about, oh, I'm flushing the toxins. My muscles are building up all of these toxins from the environment or from my run. What does massage do for that?
It's another good one. It's another interesting kind of reason that people say, oh, come to me and this is what I'm going to do for you, and you've got to book in 6 times a week because you've got loads of toxins in your body. It's a misconception. If you really want to stop a therapist in there, now don't do this, please, runners, don't listen to me, don't listen to anything I say, but if you really wanted to stop a therapist in their tracks and see their jaw just drop, just kind of say, just one question, what toxins are you actually getting rid of? And watch the silence. They might come up with one, which we'll probably talk in a minute, and we'll dispel that as well. But your body's got its own clever ways of getting rid of waste products and things it doesn't want. Our skin's a pretty powerful barrier. It's waterproof. Not a lot gets in. You've got to be in some extreme horrible situations if you are going to get toxins which are dangerous to you into your body, or it's got to be ingested somehow. So, again, this idea that massage helps flush out toxins, it's physiologically pretty much impossible. Again, doesn't mean we stop massage. It just means that's not the reason we pay for it.
Right, right. That's what the kidneys are for. That's how we get rid of waste products, right?
Our body's pretty good at doing that in its own way. It doesn't need someone else to press on us. No.
Yeah. So let's talk about something that actually does build up in the muscles when we run hard. And sometimes we're doing this on purpose, is to build up lactic acid. So a lot of people think, I'm going to go get a massage just to get rid of all that lactic acid. Do you want to talk about that one?
Yep. If anyone's still listening and hasn't thought that I'm just a know-it-all and dismissing all of their, like I say, just to reiterate, I love massage, and we will move on to what's great about it and where we need to direct our efforts. But yes, lactic acid is another good example of seeing whether indeed your coach, your therapist, your anybody you see, any healthcare professional is actually keeping up to date with what's going on. We used to believe since the 1920s, right, 80 years, that fatigue, soreness was down to a buildup of lactic acid. It was the classic kind of reason, oh, I've got so much lactic acid, I can't move, whether it was sprinting, whether it was doing heavy squats in the gym. We now know, we've known for a while now, it's just taking a while for the information to kind of flow down, that lactic acid, or rather lactate, as it should really be known if you look at the chemistry, is not the enemy at all. In fact, it's the goodie. It's the guy which actually helps stop total mechanical failure in the muscles. We now know, because of the various cycles and the way that the energy systems work, that when the body is working very hard and starts running out of oxygen, it starts using alternative forms of energy, and in the process creates sort of hydrogen ions. So without getting too technical, it's the hydrogen ions which increase the acidity, and that's the kind of burn sensation in the muscle. Mm-hmm. Lactate is actually the great product which appears on the scene through another series of chemical reactions and helps buffer and stop the hydrogen ions from doing too much damage. So it's a good guy. The idea that it's sticking around as well is a myth, and we can't blame soreness or fatigue on it because the body then is even cleverer. I mean, this is the whole thing about what I try and do with One Chat Live is kind of help people celebrate their body instead of thinking there's these chemicals floating around which are doing us harm and that it's a battle of us against us. The body actually uses 75-80% of this lactate and converts it to glucose and actually creates more energy. So by the time you finish your run, research shows 30 minutes to an hour afterwards, the lactate's gone. It's not there. It's done its job. And you should actually be saying, thank you, lactate, rather than going to somebody to kind of push it out or get rid of it.
Yeah. Well, if it's such a good thing, why does it hurt so bad?
It's not the pain. It's not. It's true. If something hurts, it's probably not doing you much good, but
okay.
It's not the lactate. Lactate should be celebrated. We should have t-shirts saying, I love lactate.
What about improving circulation? I've heard that one, that massage can help your circulation. Is that true?
I wish I could say yes. Can we just say yes? Yeah, it's great for circulation. No, it's not. It's not. I'm afraid it's not. But it's cool that we're getting this list hopefully done in a pleasant way, showing you that, I mean, things evolve. You know, we used to put witches into lakes, and if they drowned, we used to say they're innocent, and we've moved on from that. So it's not strange that science moves on and gets better. So, yeah, the idea that with our hands we can actually change the circulation in the body is another reason which, I mean, I teach massage, and to the younger students, the lower levels, I have to tell them when that question comes up, does massage improve circulation? You've got to put a big tick in the box. But I'll also say to them, depending on the class, but you know what, when you go on to the next level, I'm going to be the same teacher. I'm going to say, well, actually, no, it doesn't. Because even though we turn the skin red, it's not because of us moving blood around the body. The only way you can increase blood flow is through increasing your metabolism. And to do that, you've got to get up, you've got to exercise. You can't hope to relax and also increase your metabolism at the same time. It's just the two things go one or the other. So that, again, that's a big one which a lot of massage therapists will go, oh, no way, vroom, door shut, I don't want to know anymore. Don't tell me anymore. And a lot of runners might go, but that's why I go to my massage therapist. But again, I need to stress this so much. It doesn't mean we stop doing massage. It just means we don't devote our efforts to making the body go as red as possible. We don't celebrate redness as a great thing, as that's a sign blood's moving. And also, and the other big thing about dismissing these kind of misconceptions is we don't think that these mechanisms of action are actually helping our runner out of pain or out of injury or improving performance, because if they're not happening, then we can't celebrate them as methods of becoming better runners or more robust runners.
Yeah. Well, one thing, when I have gotten a massage, they always tell me to drink a lot of water afterward. And I assume that's to flush out the toxins or whatever. Can you explain that? Why do they tell me to do that? Are they connected or they just say that?
It just sounds like now someone's giving you a list of things to try and make me look like a terrible ogre. No, it kind of goes, again, it's a typical thing, and I have to teach massage students to say this. It's you get your tick on your examining sheet saying, that's the aftercare. Make sure you tell them. They might be a bit dizzy. They might hurt tomorrow, which is another interesting one. But yeah, drink lots of water to flush out the toxins. In an ideal world, we'd stop saying that. Again, all right. We would. It's just another one of these ways which we hopefully subconsciously and not on purpose make the patient feel like their body is letting them down, their body's in a state of dis-ease. One of my biggest things, actually it's not mine, I was talking to somebody the other day, but I'm going to take on as if it's mine, is every time a runner leaves a massage clinic or any therapist clinic, the one thing they should feel is that their body is stronger and more powerful and self-efficient than when they came in. If you start telling people that, oh, you're going to have loads of toxins running around doing harm, or you're going to hurt tomorrow because, you know, there's been a few things here which are going to hurt, but then they're going to get better. All of these things, again, even for the hardest, most macho male or female runner, subconsciously or consciously, it makes them feel weaker. It can perpetuate pain cycles and slow down recovery. So anything we can do to show the runner that their body is incredible and that we are facilitating recovery, the body's doing all the work, is the way that the industry has to move forwards.
Okay, great. Well, we've talked about what massage doesn't do. We've gotten all the bashing out of the way, I think, unless there's anything else. But we can move on to, okay, well, why should we get a massage?
I'm so glad you said that. What time are we? Oh, good. That's okay. We only spent 20 minutes slagging off massage. So the research on massage is pretty grey. We still don't know yet, but just because we haven't got evidence for something doesn't mean that it doesn't do anything. It's quite clear that massage is beneficial. For a start, regardless of studies, we see it throughout, particularly the primates. It's basically social grooming. Animals do it. It's a way for us basically to have that contact, which is going to be beneficial. And that's interesting because the one area of evidence which does support massage very, very strongly is reducing anxiety and depression. So the effect of massage on the mental state of a patient has been shown clearly. And that's really interesting and something which probably to date hasn't been further explored. There's a particular researcher who has delved into this and is very keen that we continue that, because if we know that massage seems to be affecting the nervous system in a heavy way, that's where all the rest of the research should go. And Chris Moyer, in particular, has produced some fantastic meta-studies of meta-analysis and studies showing that that is what massage is doing, and that's where we can benefit. When we look and consider how important stress is in regards to delaying recovery, reducing the power of the immune system, on so many levels it can help not just runners, but any sports person, anybody, to function properly. So we don't know exactly how massage helps the nervous system. We know it's on a physiological level. We know there's not much change in cortisol levels or anything. So it's still a bit of a mystery. But it means that if we know that is the case, then when we are doing hands-on therapy, we need to take that into consideration. So things like causing huge amounts of pain to the client have got to go out the window. Instead, we need to work on what once upon a time we would have called the placebo effect, which now we get rid of, because a placebo means something that is inert and doesn't work. It's a pretty bad word we need to remove. So we tend to replace that with context, the contextual effect. So if a person is coming to us, let's say a runner, and it's clear that they need to improve their recovery because it's only during the rest period that the whole anabolic stage happens and you get stronger and you get fitter. If this runner clearly is not recovering properly and massage can calm down the nervous system, then, hey, we go for the whole thing. If they're kind of like, oh, I don't need that, it's a bit namby-pamby, just rub me a little bit and make me hurt, which a lot of runners do, we try and use our personality, our empathy, not straight away maybe. Maybe we start off with the elbows and give them what they want, because as therapists, we have to work with these individuals. But slowly, ideally, our goal is to persuade this person to, as much as possible, just relax, turn off. I'm not saying everyone's going to love a bit of well music. Not everyone's going to like to lie on a waterbed. But that's the direction we're trying to get runners to, just totally relax for that hour and just let the body do its stuff.
So massage is good because it feels good. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, basically in a nutshell. And although it sounds like, I mean, it's a pretty expensive way to relax. It's like most, it's going to be like at least $1 a minute or something. But for a lot of us in the life we live in, most people who can go to yoga class or do meditation and that sort of thing, they don't need it hardly as much as the people who can't do it. We always tend to move towards things we already can do. The people who really need to chill out are the people who can't just close their eyes and think of nothing. They can't spend an hour just doing different positions and relaxing. So to get somebody into your clinic and persuade them, look, mate, lie down, switch off, let me do my thing, just get into it, just relax. You don't have to say anything if you don't want to. That could provide such a huge holistic, without sounding too hippie, but it's what our bodies are all about. It really will help recovery, which can have a huge knock-on effect to all sorts of illnesses, diseases, and of course, performance as well.
Well, I don't know if this is going to be like how this is going to be received by people who get massages all the time, because, you know, they swear by it, like, oh, I had a knot in my neck and she just worked at it and I feel better. Or, oh, I always get these cramps in my hamstring and after I get a massage, they're totally fine. Like, there's got to be something going on here than just relaxation.
The interesting thing is the anecdotes we hear, and it is anecdotal evidence, we have to remember, is the people who it worked for. People, runners who went to see somebody with a problem and it went away. Normally you hear from somebody in the first 2 or 3 days or something, oh, it was amazing, it totally went. But they don't get to social media so much to say, oh, guess what, it's back. Because it was almost feel as if they've failed. They feel a bit stupid saying, 2 days ago I was saying this person had magic hands. I don't go and say, actually, I've changed my mind, they're not so good after all. There's so many reasons why people, runners, only want to show their successes. It's like runners only sing about the good runs or the PBs, which is part of the problem, why so many get injured. So as a therapist, if you start noting down the number of times where runners don't get better, they don't come back to you, the pain doesn't go away, you'd actually find, and this is what research kind of does, is all these attempts to iron out knots, undo, hit these trigger points and stuff. Under research, it doesn't hold water. More often than not, the problem comes back. And when we look at the incidence of running-related injury, for example, it's still, depending on the studies and what they regard as injuries, it's between 30 and 70%. So if all of these techniques to undo knots and balance the body, if we were doing it all so well, we wouldn't have nearly as high incidence of running-related injury.
With the cool fall weather, a great pair of leggings are an essential piece of running gear. I've just gotten my first pair of Sweaty Betty Power leggings, and I have to tell you, they are going to be the first thing I reach for before heading out the door. No other athletic brand can compete with the Sweaty Betty Power leggings' expertly placed seams and squat-tested compression fabric that physically give your booty instant peach emoji status. Quick drying and pocket equipped, these leggings are high-waisted performers. Take their quiz at sweatybetty.com to find your perfect style and choose from a wide selection of strategically cut patterns. I love the way I look in my Sweaty Bettys. Not only do they feel amazing and come in tons of cute colors, but they are a dream to run and lift in. Now through November 1st, get 20% off your entire purchase when you visit sweatybetty.com/RTTT. This is the best offer Sweaty Betty has available anywhere because you deserve to look amazing before, during, and after your workout. Get 20% off your entire purchase at sweatybetty.com/RTTT. Only until November 1st, spelled sweatybetty.com/RTTT and enter code RTTT at checkout.
So if all of these techniques to undo knots and balance the body, if we were doing it all so well, we wouldn't have nearly as high incidence of running-related injury.
Yeah, what is it? What is it with knots? Do muscles really physically knot? I would love to know what's going on. I mean, you can feel sometimes, like, you know, in your back, you can feel sort of a hard lump, and if you massage it, it can kind of smooth out. So, what's going on under the skin?
I think the key word you've used is sometimes, and again, we kind of. There's been some fantastic studies, and whether it's a muscle knot or a trigger point, which is kind of the name which is packaged up and sold a bit more scientifically, the research has been really bad for trigger points and knots, because there was a very good study where they took the leading kind of six or so researchers who wrote the books, sold the videos, the whole thing of trigger points, and they've got this idea that the knots are connected around the body and stuff, and they tried to one, identify these knots and say where they should be. And it was a bit of an embarrassing letdown, because even the specialists who said they could find these knots weren't able to, and they weren't be able to reproduce it. One of them would feel it here, and then the other therapist wouldn't be able to find it. One of the interesting things, which again we forget, is there's plenty of people who have got pain when you push down on soft, unknotted tissue. Right. We only remember as well about those tight trapeziuses, which feel really charged up. Just the same as there's plenty of bodybuilders who've got massive contracted kind of ripped trapeziuses, and there's nothing on there at all. They don't feel any pain. So there's not a clear parallel either in clinical practice or in studies showing a correlation between tightness or lumps and pain.
Interesting. That is super interesting. Okay, well, let's go back to how massage fits in to a runner's life. So We often see those free massages at the end of a marathon. Should we be waiting in line for those, or should we be skipping those?
It's a tricky one, you know, because research has showed that in the first kind of few hours after a run, massage can actually increase DOMS. It can make things worse. The effect on the nervous system can actually kind of interrupt and slow down recovery process. So it depends again on the treatment you're getting. If I could count the number of times as a younger runner, I used to finish a marathon or something and lie down, and I just wanted somebody to gently stroke my calves. Well, along comes the recently qualified or student massage therapist, and they're boom, boom. Well, no, they're not even boom, boom, booming. They don't realize how delicate the body is after a run like that. And you're just too knackered and tired to even say anything. So you kind of put up with it, crying and biting the pillow. But if the massage is really gentle, again, it's the context. It's the nervous system. If you are continuously asking the runner, well, the first thing is if the runner wants it, that's a sign the nervous system wants it. And if you're giving the right pressure, the right atmosphere, they're relaxed, then it could well be beneficial. But again, to go and have one just because you think you're going to get your lactic acid pushed out, or you're going to help your circulation, or you're going to reduce DOMS, it could do the opposite.
And for those who don't know, DOMS is delayed onset muscle soreness. So massage will not make you less sore, is what you're saying.
No. And if it seems like it does, because people will say, well, it does for me, this Matt doesn't know what he's talking about. Don't forget the very important analogy, like a rain dance. And in England at the moment, it's raining a lot. Just because I go out for the next 6 days and wave a kipper around in a circle with my right hand, and on the sixth day it rains, doesn't mean it was my kipper wavering which caused it to rain. So you may well have a massage and 3 days later, you're not as sore as you were last week, but it could be correlation rather than causation. So you always have to bear that in mind.
Got it. So what about massage during taper week before your big race or a week after your big race? What do you think? I mean, I typically tell people if you're used to massage, you can go ahead and have one. But if you're not used to massage, you might want to skip it right before a marathon. What do you think?
You know what? First of all, and you'll get sick of this, but it depends on the individual. But the other thing for me is because now we know it's working on the nervous system, again, getting that person to lay down, having that contact, that trust, the conversation. I remember once I had Greg Lehman in Brighton and he came down and did one of his courses. And he's known for kind of letting out bombshells and things, but I remember him standing up there and saying, during a massage, one of the most important tools you can use is your mouth. And I was like, whoa, Greg, where are you going with this? No.
But not then that I kind understood. Of massage.
No. We're going back to where we didn't want to go anymore. But then what he was saying was, again, one of the beautiful things of massage is you are lowering your defenses. You're relaxing. You're opening up this time for a chat. For the therapist, it could be a fantastic time for education. The studies show that the greatest way a therapist can help a sports person in particular is through educating them, busting some myths and misconceptions, telling them the importance of their training, telling them they're trying to run too many A races, telling them they need to kind of work the 80-20 principle instead of just going out 60% every single training session. So, and you're doing all that with the mouth, but the ears almost open, of course, when the nervous system is brought down and the defenses are reduced. So in taper weekend, for a lot of runners, you know, I like to get certain runners in because I know they're going to need it. You've been spending that time like beavers and butthead sort of thing. So I need you to lie down for an hour and just chill the hell out. And maybe we'll talk about the race. Maybe I'll get rid of a few worries you've got. I haven't done as much training as I wanted to, or I haven't done my strength training. By that time, with a week or two to go, nothing you do now is going to change anything apart from this. So it's just relaxing. And that's the other thing, the skills of massage are really important. It's no coincidence that the best massage therapists do probably believe they're changing the circulation in the body. They believe they're flushing out toxins. They're closing their eyes and they're hearing wells, even though it's not playing. And we mustn't get rid of that at all, because that's all part of what is creating this rhythmic, relaxing kind of build up of pressure towards the end and then slowly releasing and coming off, keeping contact with the body, the application of oil. All of these things, which are such an important integral part of Swedish massage, which at the end of the day is the only type of massage there is, really. Everything else is kind of a build-on, which has been sold as something different. The concepts of Swedish massage, of a regular stroke, relaxing down that nervous system, the client knowing where you are the whole time, that contact, the effleurage, the slight build-up, some petrissage, maybe some tapotement if it's kind of something a little bit faster. that is all still very much playing with the nervous system and the sensory feedback and everything. So we don't want that to go. We just have to train therapists to realize that they're not actually moving the circulation around. They're still going to move that way, but what you're actually doing is you're bathing the nervous system into a relaxed state rather than physical changes.
I'm getting more relaxed just listening to you.
Isn't it? Just doing that motion makes me relaxed.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so if massage is just about relaxation, we could jump in a hot bath.
No, don't say just. You can't say just, sorry.
Okay. Mostly?
It's about relaxation, yeah. Not just, that belittles it. Yeah, it's about relaxation.
I wasn't trying to belittle it. What I was trying to say is there's lots of ways that we can relax. You know, we can get in a hot tub. We can do some meditation or yoga or other things. Is there something very specific about massage that is different than other relaxation techniques?
I think it is the contact. It is the social grooming. It's it's giving another, because in social groups normally, not always, but you're not going to suddenly jump up if someone else in your pack kind of comes along and starts picking your hair and going through it and stroking you. Whereas humans, if someone did that you didn't know in the street, you'd be kind of running a mile. But so massage is a way really to give permission to another human being to actually have that contact with you without you thinking they're coming onto you or something, or it's going to go down a weird alley. We need it. Most people, even if they feel like I don't like cuddling, that's normally because you weren't cuddled as a kid. And maybe you'll go through your life without being cuddled. That's fine. But the majority of us, you can't beat a cuddle, you know, because it just has that effect on the body. It's the contact. I'm not saying if your massage therapist tries to cuddle you, then you have to kind of have a little thing. But it is the contact which changes so much. We do it all the time. Someone just calms you down. I remember with endurance runners, it makes me laugh. With an endurance runner trying to get to their first 100 miles, and I love working with these people, especially the first time. Because I tell them, don't let anybody show you any sympathy. At like mile 80 and 90, when you're about to break down, don't let anybody put their hand on your shoulder and go, you're going to be okay, don't worry. Because you'll just break down. It happens all the time. People just start crying. They can't move anymore. Because that touch is so powerful, calming someone down. And your body just goes, you know what? Forget it. I haven't got anything left in the tank. So the power of touch is huge. And it's where we need to be directing our efforts.
And a lot of us are missing out on the power of touch with the COVID. So are there any ways to kind of get a massage safely these days or replicate the massage experience at home?
It's quite surprising how, I mean, depending on which organization you work with, sometimes gloves are mandatory and you need it for insurance purposes in the UK. It's difficult because in the UK, for example, massage isn't registered, so it depends who you've trained with and stuff. But with my students, I've given students the chance to work with and without gloves and to feel with and without gloves. A lot of people report back patients that they didn't even feel the gloves are on. If you're wearing nitrile gloves and something really kind of fitting well and you're using lots of medium, the patient doesn't even know. They can still benefit from it. A lot of it is in the head of the therapist. And a lot of it is the therapist thinking, but without my gloves, I can't feel these lumps and bumps, which I need to diagnose and all that kind of old school stuff, you know, and that's the therapist needs to kind of get over that a bit. Gone are the days when we thought a therapist with their magic hands could feel a hair underneath a book or something. It's just not. Come on, it's baloney. It's not going to happen. So, yeah, you can still get a lot of benefit from just the touch, the rhythm and everything. More than ever, it's a case where the contact is so important. Warning, the runners need to be warned that they're going to be greeted by someone with a visor and a mask and gloves and an apron, because it throws out a lot of the stuff which we associate with relaxing. But once you've got over that, once you're able to close the eyes and just kind of focus and relax on nothing, then yeah, the same benefits are there.
Great. Well, let's move on to a little bit of a more personal note. You are organizing an online running conference at the end of October. You want to share a few details about that, Matt?
Yeah, so it's, I've done the Run Chat Live podcast for quite a few years now, and it was a way for me to help therapists and runners kind of learn and get rid of a few. I don't like calling them myths anymore because it sounds like blowing up something silly like a fairy tale or something. So I prefer just calling them misconceptions and just evolving. But that was the idea of it. And kind of 3 years or so down the line, I thought, oh, I'm worried about all this online stuff. I want to get people together again. I'm scared about losing that interaction. So the conference for the first time happened last year and it was live. And we had kind of 10 professionals from around the world, sometimes meeting them each other for the first time. People like Simon Bartoff from Australia was meeting J.F. Escoulier from Canada. And even though they'd talked to each other online for maybe 6, 7, 8, 9 years. It was the first time they'd actually shaken hands and gone, hey, how you doing? Which was so magical for me. And also with social media, you get the wrong impression of people. Derek Griffin is a fantastic, I always quote him because a lot of the 9 other therapists are thinking, I'm not quite sure I'm going to get up in Derek Griffin, because on Twitter, he is very black and white. He's very into his pain science and the biopsychosocial model and everything. But when people met him in person, after 2 minutes or so, it was like, oh my God, you're a human being. You're amazing. Give us a hug. And it was an amazing thing. It was lovely for runners to meet these such talented, fantastic, modest, but really experienced professionals from my industry and be in the same room. So obviously this year that couldn't happen. It was supposed to happen. Matt Fitzgerald was supposed to be coming to Brian, which I'm just still killing myself. I'm not going to meet him because that's one person I've admired for years. But we're doing it online. It's still going to be 2 days on Zoom. I'm not coming off the camera. I'll be there at 8:30 in the morning till 6 o'clock in the evening, eating my lunch. I've got people dropping in for lunch with me from around the world, therapists as well. So it's still going to be very much Run Chat live, and not Run Chat is a bunch of presentations kind of put together and sold as a course. And the speakers are going to be, I mean, this year I've concentrated particularly on, last year I just chose 10 people I love to death and I've known for 10 years. This year I've looked more at the content. So we're going to have talks on things like return to running after pregnancy, which is very topical at the moment. We're going to have Emma Brockwell, who was one of the 3 authors published that paper for physios to finally start thinking, I need to be asking these questions to female athletes, not just kind of dusting under the carpet and ignoring important signs. So she's going to be coming along. Tom Goom is going to be, who's one of the other authors, will be talking about something as well. From the States, we've got Kevin Maggs, who's a fantastic chiropractor, which I love as well, because I like breaking down these ideas that chiropractors are bad, physios are great, sports massage therapists. It's all about the person you see these days. So Kevin Maggs is coming along to talk about load and tolerance. Alice Sanvito from St. Louis, Missouri, who's a fantastic massage therapist, evidence-based, is going to come along. And the list goes on. There's some fantastic speakers, Ben Cormack, Trevor Pryor, Mike James from the UK. And it's going to be online, but it's going to be really interactive. I'm trying to persuade people to treat it that way. Take 2 days off work. Join us for the experience. I want you to be looking at the screen and me talking about the next guest and just telling someone to make a cup of tea. I can't leave. It's like, I want it to be like a Netflix box set. It's like Lost, the first series, where you just can't get away from it. That's the idea anyway.
Well, great. I'm sure that everyone can find all that information on how to join at runchatlive.com. And we will put links in the show notes to all of that good stuff. Well, I think that is a good place to wrap it up, Matt. But before I let you go, I have a couple of questions that I ask everyone. And the first one is, if you could go back and talk to yourself when you first started running, what advice would you give yourself?
It's a tricky one. Because I'm one of these people, I wouldn't want to change any, I like who I am, so I don't want to change anything, but that's a little bit too philosophical. I mean, I went into running, like full-time running, at a later age, because I started off in martial arts. And then I think one of the reasons why I realized too many runners spend too much time trying to get flexible is because I noted that coming from martial arts, where I was very flexible, and my wedding trick, I couldn't dance. My wedding trick was just doing the splits and jumping up and doing the flying splits again. And it was great. But obviously when I started getting more into distance running and left the martial arts, then that flexibility started going, because I wasn't kicking people in the head anymore. You don't really do that during marathons normally, not in the UK anyway. So it was a natural progression for me to lose flexibility. And at the time, that was quite frustrating for me. One, because at weddings I was injuring myself regularly. And 2, because I just didn't understand, and I was copying a lot of people saying, I still need to be able to touch my toes. And that's kind of what started off eventually me pursuing the evidence, because so many runners still think I need to touch my toes to be a great runner, and they use that as a sign, when we know the studies show that the elites actually perform worse in a sit and reach test. So I wouldn't go back and change anything, but I think just helping myself realize that if you want to excel in something, you've got to focus on what you're actually going to be doing during that sport. If you're not kicking people in the head or trying to do the splits, like, which you're not doing in running, don't worry about that. Just look at how you move when you do that sport, and that's what you need to train for.
Good answer. Well, we could do a whole another show about stretching and touching your toes, but we'll save that for next time. What is the greatest gift that running has given you?
I think it's a bit of a cliche now, but it's never been a more important time to say it. So probably mental health. I haven't suffered as much as others who I know, But especially during COVID and everything, at the beginning of COVID, I was very much championing the fact that if you were in a place where you were allowed out, then do get out, use that hour. Don't stay at home getting anxious and stressed and losing your identity because you weren't running anymore. And I was doing daily chats from my daily hour runs live to try and tell people, you know, if you want to get into running now, what a great time to start running. What a great time to go out and clear your head and actually feel alive. So, I mean, not for everybody, but I think for most runners, somewhere on the whole spectrum of mental health that we all live on, it helps. It helps clear stuff out, helps you get over issues and problems, helps you think of new ideas. And I think sometimes that's one of the addictions that we need. We seek that clarity the whole time, depend on it for running. But when it's like everything, when it's not overdone, I think running and mental health go pretty well together.
Absolutely. Great answer. And finally, Matt, where can listeners connect with you?
Well, I've made it quite simple. It's just at Run Chat Live, whether that's Instagram or LinkedIn or Twitter. I'm pretty active on most of them. Obviously, Instagram is mainly pictures, but without links. But the Run Chat Live website, runchatlive.com, is, I hate updating it because I don't think anyone goes anymore to websites, but I still keep it there because it's a nice little kind of, it's got everything there. Access to all of the past episodes of Run Chat Live, always uploaded, details of the conference. So, and links to my social media. So probably the website, and then maybe whatever you use, whatever fits in with you guys, I will be there.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for being here, Matt, and best of luck with your conference. And I hear we might even have somebody from Runners Connect joining with you. So I'm not sure about that. We'll see. We'll see.
You're very welcome. And you too, Claire, if you want to pop in some lunchtime or something or into the interval and say hi, then that'd be great. I'd be more than happy.
Definitely. All right. Thanks so much, Matt.
No worries. Thanks for having me back.
So, are you ready to book a massage after that? Matt definitely dispelled some common ideas of what massage really does for us. And yet, I still think some people are going to disagree with some of what he mentioned. I definitely have had some of those heavenly massages before where the world tilted on its axis and everything felt amazing afterwards. Was that just placebo? Would I have felt better in a few days without one? I'll never know, but it sure did feel good. And I think that is really Matt's point. Humans are supposed to feel good when good things are happening. We might not understand everything that is going on at a scientific level, but we can simply accept that doing things that are relaxing, that make us feel good, should be an important part of our routine. As promised, the promo code that you will need to get 20% off the International Run Chat Live Running Conference, October 29th and 30th, is RTTT20. Again, that will get you 20% off the conference. Head to runchatlive.com for more details. Big thanks to some of our listeners who are supporting me on this crazy mission to get 1,000 iTunes reviews. Sunny Runner Ed, Kate Gloss, Happy Running Fan, Pete F, Katie T, and more. Don't forget to send me a screenshot to be entered into our contest to receive a free month of Runners Connect coaching. Again, my email is claire@runnersconnect.net, and I'd love to hear from you. That's it for me, Claire Bartholik, the Planted Runner, on the Run to the Top podcast. Join me again next week, as well as twice a week on the Run to the Top Extra Kick podcast. Subscribe to both, and you'll get all of our amazing content. Have a great run today.
Thanks for listening to the Run to the Top podcast from runnersconnect.net.